Okay, good evening, and welcome back to How to Study the Bible for Yourself. I'm so glad to actually finally make it here. Some of you know that I do this program actually a day before. So last night I did this program in Shady Point, and I got there and I plugged in my computer, and the formatting was all askew on the screen, and I had to go into settings and I had to figure everything out. And so I'm so grateful though that we've been able to finally get it all set up here. And so I'm excited tonight because I'm going to by God's grace demonstrate a couple of things and on the computer to show how computers can really make a huge difference in Bible study. Now I'm going to actually demonstrate a couple of programs, one that is a downloaded program and one that is an online program. And both have their advantages and disadvantages. So I'm going to be covering some of that this evening. And so I'm very glad that you're here. Before we get into this, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer and let's ask for the Holy Spirit to give us the mind of Christ so that we can understand. Father in heaven, this evening, we need help. Lord, we can come to this book with our own ideas, with our own preconceptions, with our own ignorance, and not get a single thing out of it. And yet, we can come to this book with an open heart and requesting for the Holy Spirit to be poured into our lives, and then the miracle begins. And that's what I pray for tonight. I pray that you would take over from this very moment and that you would help us to understand how to study the Bible in a deeper way is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We live in a computer age. I remember back when I was at the seminary, back in Andrews University. That was when Y2K hit. How many of you remember Y2K and the big kerfuffle over the computers? There was this big issue of, well, what happens when we get to the year 2000 and they run out of digits? And so there was this big concern. Nobody quite knew whether the world would shut down. And of course, I remember it was really played up pretty good at Pioneer Memorial Church. We were all there until the midnight hour, and then they played, the organist played the chimes, tong, tong, 12 times, and very ominous. And we thought, wow, that maybe the world is going to change. And so what ended up happening was that, of course, nothing happened. And for which we were all grateful. But the reality is our world is really controlled by computers. It is. And and of course, from Y2K, year 2000, until now, like hundredfold. Okay? Everything pretty much in our society is run by computers, and it's digital, it's wireless. And even, when I was a kid, I used to watch these guys hanging off of billboards as they're, changing the billboard to something new. Now they've got electronic billboards in which it's done all electronically from a central location, and it flashes a new picture every 15 or 20 seconds, and that's all done digitally. And everything now is gone. We are living in a digital age. I mean, my first computer was an IBM 286, and I thought that was just the greatest thing. Now, I mean, I don't even know whether they've got room in the museums for things like 286s. I remember Commodore 64. How many of you had a Commodore 64? I loved it because you could get a gazillion games, pirated, of course, but anyways, computers have changed our world. Nowadays, being a pilot, it has changed the face of aviation. I just renewed my flight instructor's certificate, and it's unbelievable how computers have changed the way aviation is done. And what's amazing though is that mechanics now have to stay up with this. And so now they have to be able to do everything from the jet age all the way back to dope and fabric. You know, like the biplanes with the wooden spars, you know, like the Stinsons and the what is it? Stearmans, those biplanes that you see at fairs sometimes. And they have to be able to do the whole thing. So computers have changed. And now these newest airplanes coming off from Boeing and what's the other one? The one over in England. Anyways, these airplanes will project. They actually gather data. They're constantly gathering data. They're sending it through a satellite link down to the main place where, you know, the airline, the central headquarters of the airline. So if something happens, the airlines can actually see exactly what is happening. It takes many, 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 many gigabytes of information constantly. Every second is just they can monitor almost anything on these airplanes, which is just pretty amazing. So it's no wonder that when it comes to Bible study, that really computers are making a huge difference. And they make a huge difference. And so, what we're going to do this evening is we're going to look at some computer programs and we're going to try to understand a couple programs. I can't go through all of them, but I'm going to give you a couple of samples of computer programs. Now, I don't have one of those DVDs. So could someone bring up that DVD? I gave a DVD out and it has five programs on it. Okay, five programs here. There's three programs for Windows. There's two programs for Mac. These are all free programs. Okay, now I will make a pitch for free. Free is good. Okay, most of what you're going to be wanting is free. Okay, what I did was I went on the internet and I looked through all sorts of different programs and I kind of narrowed it down to five programs. And so if you don't have a computer program for your computer, you can take one of these. The install files are here on this disk. And so you can just put this disk in your computer and install them. In fact, you can install all of them if you want, depending on whether you have a, you know, Mac or a PC, but you can install them, and if you don't like them, uninstall them. Okay, so they're free, and some have advantages other you know over other ones. So play around with that. So this is a resource that I'm providing for you. There are some programs I didn't include the ones that cost money because some of them can be costly, very costly. In fact, one program ran up as much as $3,000 if you wanted all of the modules. And what they're doing with these modules is they're bundling books and all sorts of stuff that you don't have time to read anyways. And you couldn't possibly read all that material. The point is this: the materials that the program that you're going to be using is most of that information is free. And it's available, and I'm going to show you how to use it. So don't go out and spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars and think that that's going to make you into a better Bible student. It's not. It's not. Most of the tools is what we're going to be showing you here, and you can use them, and they're free. And that's the wonderful part about it. So make sure and get one of these DVDs. Okay, at this point in time, we're going to shift a little bit and we're going to look at the computer program. And I'm going to show you first one program that is downloaded onto a computer. It's called Bible Analyzer. And I'll walk you through that. The reason why I've chosen Bible Analyzer as opposed to MacSort and stuff is because Bible Analyzer is cross-platform. It goes on the Mac as well as the Windows machine. And so I'm assuming that the look and the feel is going to be a little bit similar. So that's my assumption. I don't know if it's true. I don't have a PC, so I'm running off of a Mac. This is my disclaimer. I'm running off of a Mac, so I'm going to show you on the Mac, and if it looks similar on the PC, then you'll be able to use that. Then what I'm going to do is for the second part of this program, I'm going to show you an online program called Blue Letter Bible. and it's a very powerful program. And there's other programs that I used to use, but I've kind of switched over to this one, and I'll tell you why. So at this point in time, we're going to readjust the camera here, and we're going to go straight to our program. So when you look at this, the first thing that you want to kind of go with is this right over here. This left side is what they call a Bible tree. And you can see each one of those Bible books, it starts with Genesis and goes all the way through Revelation. If you see the little arrow, you click on those arrow and it immediately has a drop down for the chapters. Okay, so let's say Genesis chapter 3. Let's say we want to look at Genesis chapter 3, and this is the fall of man. Automatically, when you click on 3, it's going to populate your display window. Okay, and so it says Genesis 3, and it has the title there, the fall of man. Of course, at the top, you go Genesis chapter 2 and Genesis chapter 4. So if you take your little cursor and you click on Genesis 2, you can go back a chapter, okay? Or you click on Genesis chapter 4, you can move, you can navigate that way, left and right, okay? So that's how you do that. So Genesis, and then if you want to find another book, you just close the Genesis part of the tree, and then you go down to like 1 Peter, okay? 1 Peter 1 through 5, and you can click on any of those chapters, okay? So very, very easy, intuitive way of navigating and finding a specific part of the Bible. Okay, now let's look at that display window there, and across the top, and I'm going to use the cursor here, so just follow this, across the top over here are each one of your downloaded Bibles, okay? So ASV with a little s is the American Standard Version with Strong's numbers, okay? The AV is the Authorized Version. The ASV is the American Standard, but without Strong's, okay? Now, this program's a little bit different because many programs will offer Strong's Concordance as a tool within for free, but this program actually will charge $3 for it, so you don't get Strong's with this, which I think is a little cheap of them, but $3 isn't going to sink the ship. If you like the program, cough up the $3 and use it, okay? So you have ASV, American Standard Version. Then you have this over here, and I highlight it, and it says exactly what it is. If you don't know what SBLGNT stands for, it's Society of Biblical Literature, Greek New Testament, 2010. Okay, YLT is Young's Literal Translation. This is the same person. Robert Young was the same person that wrote the Young's Analytical Concordance. Okay, so same person, okay? YLT, AVS, the Authorized Version, this is the King James. King James and Authorized Version, pretty much the same thing, with the Strong's. Okay, so AV with the Strong's. Bible in Basic English, the International Standard Version, 2012. And then you have some older versions. It's kind of fun to read in Tyndale and Wycliffe that old English. They have it there, and those are free. These are all free downloads. When you first open the program, the only thing that they'll give you is the King James Version, the Authorized Version. So you have to go to the download part of this program, which is under modules, and they have a downloader, and you click on that downloader. I'll show you how to do that, okay? Wycliffe, I'm just kind of giving you an overview of how this is working. Okay, Wycliffe, and then Apostolic Bible, Polyglot Interlinear. This is Greek English. Okay, so this is also Greek. And then you have the Authorized King James Version. Oh, sorry, the American King James Version with Strong's. And then notice here, here's a parallel. Now, this is something different. If you, let's say you wanted to put two versions of the Bible side by side. For me, I like to put like a English, like the Authorized Version, the King James, and a Greek side by side. Well, you can do that. You click on parallel and watch what happens. You can put as many of these as you want side by side. Of Of course, you might have to move your window and widen it a little bit depending on if you have, and you can do that. You can just click on that and just kind of pull it across to make room for other stuff. Okay, so here we have the authorized, the American Standard Version with Strong's, the authorized version, the SBLGT, this is the Society of Biblical Literature, Greek New Testament, and then the Bible in Basic English. And if you want to change the, if you want to change which ones that you have up there, you click to select text. You click on there and notice you can click on and click off boxes. Very, very easy to do, okay? So in a nutshell, that's basically your what I call kind of a display window. This is the main window that you're going to be using to display things, okay? Now, let's go and look over here. You have over here books and articles. Now, there many programs have books. There's basically two types of books that you can download. Many Bible programs have books that are not Bible books, but these are other authors. And I basically categorize them into two different categories, those that you pay for and those that you don't, okay? And basically the ones that are you don't pay for are the uncopyrighted. In other words, books that are around 100 years or maybe a little bit older, okay? And there's books that you can download, or there are some other more newer books but are in the public domain. And but then, of course, there are copyrighted books, and everybody wants to get a little piece of the pie. And so they'll charge, in this program, they'll charge anywhere from, you know, $3 to $5 for whatever book or bundle and that sort of thing. But look through the free program, the free books, and if you like books, you can download those. Well, how do you take advantage of that? Well, let me move this and let me make this window a little bit shorter so I have a little bit more space here. Let's look at this, and I think if you go up here and you click this, I'm gonna take a risk here. I'm gonna click on this, see where my cursor is up here, the QBCRD. I think if you click B, nope, that was the wrong one. Nope, that was the wrong one too. Okay, that's it. Okay, so it would be R, like reading. Okay, R is in reading. So you click the book right here. See where it says book up there? It's very small, but that says book up there. And you click on that, and it automatically populates. Remember, there's going to be zero books when you first download the program. So you have to download whatever titles that you like. And I downloaded some. Here, the autobiography of Peter Cartwright. Barrow's Companion to the Bible, Bible Difficulties by R.A. Torrey, Chronology of Bible Versions, Clark's Precious Bible Promises, so on and so forth. So you can go through there, and when you click on something, let's click on something, Bible Difficulties by R.A. Torrey, it automatically takes you to the chapters. You know, you've got the introduction and the chapters and so on. So it says, let's just look at one of these. Genesis 1, historical and scientific. You know, this is talking about, can we trust Genesis chapter 1? Well, okay, that sounds interesting. So then you can read. And what's nice about this is it, when you click on that R in the top, right up here, when you click on that, it just opens up the whole window so you don't have to, you know, squint and tiny little window and stuff like that. It opens up the entire thing. Follow what I'm saying. So here you can read through here as it talks about Genesis chapter 1. Now let's see if I can go back here. I think if you click this, yep, there it is. Okay, so so that is, well, I put it down there, but that's okay. All right, so books, there are lots of books that are available. In fact, you'll find that many of these programs, they have literally hundreds of different books. Some of them are good, some of them are not. But the point is this, you can get lost in all sorts of stuff and miss the point. The point of our program is how to study the Bible for yourself. Don't miss the point. Don't get lost in all these commentaries. Now, commentaries, I really like what Eugene Pruitt said. Eugene Pruitt, of course, is a theologian within our Adventist church. And I thought what he said was excellent. He said, treat commentaries as a friend, not like a close relative. Okay? Keep them as a friend. Use them occasionally. But the point is this, that really our objective is to study the Bible. And really, it's the tools that I'm most important, that I'm really interested in, the tools of Bible study. So yeah, I kind of look at that a little bit, but I don't spend a lot of time there. But it's there, and I want you to know that yeah, it's available. Now, look at the top part, that green part where you have the green, that kind of greenish box. It says Scofield Notes, Index 1917. Okay, now here, if you look down at the bottom of this box, it says commentaries. So you click on commentaries, and automatically you see all the different commentaries that you've downloaded. Okay? And then you go dictionaries. Okay? Dictionaries up at the top. You see all the different dictionaries. And here's one that I think comes with it. It's called the Poor Man's Dictionary. That's pretty good for free, right? The Poor Man's Dictionary. Scofield, which is he wrote a Bible, and he also has notes, Scofield Notes, and it's useful. You have Torrey, Thompson, Buck. These are all little older references, but very good as well. Okay, so these are helpful. Hitchcock's Bible Names, Smith Bible Dictionary. I have Smith Bible Dictionary on my phone. And so these, again, have been kind of tried and true references. And it's good to have some of those. Especially with Bible Dictionary. We talked about Bible Dictionary last week, especially as it relates to the phone. And it's good to have some Bible dictionaries on your phone, but it's also good to use it on your computer because, let's say you're away from your computer and you need to look something up. Well, you grab your phone. And that's so it's good to have more than one arrow in your quiver. Okay, so know where to use this. Now, how do you use this? Now, if you go up here and you say, okay, you put in a search word. Let's put in love. Okay, put in love. Okay, now it shows, under dictionary, it shows Scofield, and it has a thing that you can click, 1 Corinthians 12:31. So you can click on that, and it should give you the different entries for these things. Scofield, you have, what is this, People's New Testament, and then Scofield, you can click on Scofield, and you can click on Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. I'll talk more about Treasury of Scripture Knowledge a little bit later, because it's a very powerful cross-reference tool, and I'll show you how that can really be helpful. Okay, so those are basically the three windows that you're using. Your display window, you have your dictionary window, your dictionary slash commentary window, and then the book window. Now, what you can do is you can also you can make each one of these large screens. So if you don't want to just deal with one little tiny window, you can make it into the large screen. And again, that's what you do up here. You click on one of these and it just boom. Goes to the large screen, total screen. Okay, let me go across the top and show you how these different things, and I'll talk about some of these as different options. Okay, daily devotions. Again, if you want to do your devotions on your computer, you can do that. That's not my purpose. I've got my own devotional plan, reading plan that I'm following. Here is audio quiz player, again, in my opinion, not really necessary. Here is harmony and parallel generator. I haven't really played around with this very much. Let me click on this and see what it says. Anyways, you'll have to figure that one out on your own. Okay, and then here is a book and article viewer. Now, I think when you click this, it's the same as the lower right down here. is the same up here, except it puts it in a separate window. Okay, so it says books and articles, and it puts it in a separate window up there. Okay, so now look at this. Oops, hide. I was hoping this would work, and I'm not sure that it is. Let me see. Yeah, that shows everything there. Let me click down here. Let me see if I can move this down. Let me see if this will work. Because I want to show you the maps. The maps is actually not too is very helpful. Let me see if we can get this to work. And that's not going to work. Okay, I'm just going to have to describe this to you. There are some maps, and they're very useful, but I think they're kind of limited. There are some useful maps in here, this program, but they're kind of limited. And what you really need to do is you need to, the fortunate thing is this program, the people who made this program had enough foresight to realize that maybe people want to add their own maps. And so there is an option. Once you click on maps, is you go down to the bottom, and I'm sorry, it doesn't show here. I wish it did. But you go down to the bottom, and when you go down to the bottom, you can click on, it says user, what is it called? Let me see if I can find this here. User added or something like that. And then it says to add maps, you need to go out of the program. You need to be able to put it in a certain folder. So it takes a little bit of navigating. You have to know your computer a little bit. So you have to put it in a certain folder that it tells you to put it in. And then when you restart the program, it's accessible from within the program. You understand what I'm saying? Now, if you have a Mac like I had, you also have to do one additional step under options. I hope this is clear. I wish I could show you, but unfortunately I'm not. Let me try something here. If you go to File, Bible Analyzer, and then Preferences. Let's see if that will. Okay, here it is. Let's see. So when you have here, you have Appearance. Appearance basically shows, you know, how do you want the look and feel on the screen. You go to Options 1. Now look down here. This is only if you have a Mac. It might be that if you have a PC, this might be the case. But I spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to add my own maps. And I finally found out that you have to put down here, that you have to put down Additional Module Folder Path. And you have to put this path. Once you put this this thing and you enter that, then automatically it knows where to go to find those extra maps. Okay, and then of course you save it right there, and then that works. That works for you. So then let's see what's here. Multi-window AV Strongs. And then here's another interesting thing. Here's a speaking option. Let's say you come here, and let's go back out of here to authorized version. Let's click right here. Let's say you want it to read to you. Okay? So here it is. It's going to read. Sound is off, but if you were to click on this right here, it'll actually read in that mechanical voice that you love to hear in the mornings. And so you can have it actually read to you. Then user preferences and so on and so forth. So essentially, in a nutshell, this is actually a fairly reasonable program. Now, let me show you up here. The last thing that I'm gonna do is I'm gonna show you the modules. And the most important thing is the download modules. Remember, when you download the program the first time, it's not really going to have a lot. It'll have the basic King James Bible, and we'll have just a few small little things. But look here. You click on free, okay, and notice all these different options. And you can just click on these, like the Douay Rheims version, Roman Catholic. Some people call that the Jesuit Bible, okay? But the Geneva Bible and stuff like that. And then when you're done and you find everything that you want, you hit download and it automatically downloads. And then you have to exit out of the program and then go back into the program and it's there. Boom, works. So that's very helpful. This download manager is very useful. Okay, so there it is. Actually, you don't even have to go out of the program. It does it automatically. So here you see up in the top right of all of your versions, it says now we have the Douay Rheims version, 1899. So modules, you can, and then download purchase modules if you want to do that. So this is a program. Again, the advantage of having a program resident on your computer is that it will be there when you're not online. So it's very useful, useful to have a program that's available. So if you're outside of a, let's say a Wi-Fi signal or something like that, you've got something on your computer and it's available. Now, disadvantage is that it's not going to have as many options that you would pay for. Remember, by having an online program, they provide copyrighted materials for free, but they won't give it to you. They'll just let you use it. So that's like going to the library and checking out a book. You don't own it, but you can use it. It's the same way with an online program. If you have capability of having an internet connection, it's very useful. Okay, so at this point in time, we're going to close off here, and in the next presentation, I'm going to show you an online program, which is also very powerful. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you again that all of these tools are here. But again, the tools are just tools. The tools will never get us into the Word. For that to happen, we have to be committed. And we need to seek the Lord and to seek His Word and to hide His Word in our hearts. So help us and guide us in our next presentation. We pray in your name. Amen.